Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Martin Churchhouse, CEO of Caris Mineral Resources. Welcome, Martin. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks, Phil. Nice to see you.
Yeah, I mean, today you announced a resource development and exploration update related to a few licenses in Cyprus. Drill results, I believe, enhance the potential economic viability of all three hard rock targets at Truly. Do you want to tell us a bit more on how this news should be interpreted by shareholders?
Yeah, thanks, Phil. We're very excited by the new assay results, which in our mind, I mean, they provide for us clear evidence that we've got three definite, distinct, and separate mineralized zones or ore bodies at Truly that we are now more confident that we can convert to mineral resources. We've had the gold zone that, you know, we've talked about previously that now appears, based on all the drill data that we've got, to be anywhere from sort of 10 to 25 meters in thickness, and it's running at grades of sort of above 5 grams over 10, 12 meters. And some of the recent holes, you know, over a gram at 30 meter package widths. It's a viable target, and we're confident that it will more than pay for itself when it gets stripped off the top of the hill at Truly. The big advantage of that, of course, is that, you know, it's generating revenue, but it's also exposing the new copper zone, which sits immediately underneath the gold zone. This is an area where initially we stuck a few holes in, just a few meters into the sulfide zone. Our priority initially was on the gold, but now we're obviously looking at the copper zone with more intent. And it's actually the first time ever, as far as we're aware, that anybody has tested the full package width of these sulfides. And we're getting some exciting numbers. And we're sort of anticipating that if you combine the gold oxide with the copper sulfides, we're probably talking about a package width again of 40 to 60 meters, you know, which is substantial. And it's a nice big block of future potential ore for us. And more importantly, it all begins from surface. No stripping, no shafts, no declines. It's right there from surface. Thirdly, we've got the former open pit, where we had the excellent, you know, we've only had one drill hole result back from that, but it was one that we felt, you know, we should get out as quickly as we can. You know, just under 0.5% copper over 117 meters was, you know, a terrific number, and included sort of 0.7% copper over plus 40 meters. You know, we're confident that we can select high grade zones within that 117 meters if we ever wanted to. But overall, it bodes very well for, you know, further drilling of the extensions. You know, we have the benefit of having looked at all the other holes that we've drilled there, all of which were waiting for assays. We don't see a great deal of difference in the mineralization that we're seeing in those holes to this hole. So, you know, as I say, that looks potentially very encouraging. We know the mineralogy is simple. It's from surface. There's no waste stripping that's required. So all of these things sort of add up to the point where it makes a larger bulk tonnage resource, makes the viability of it that much more, that much more secure. I think the other thing that we're now moving towards is that we're of the opinion now that we're starting to get this data back, but potentially what we're looking at is a large breccia pipe where you've essentially got a late stage mineralization that's appearing as veins and stockwork, but principally the mineralization is there in the matrix, you know, binding all of the bits of the breccia together, and that it's been faulted. We know that there's a fault between the gold zone and the copper and the open pit on the other side. But we think they're probably all part of the same original intrusion. But What we haven't found yet is the, if it is the breccia pipe, what we haven't found yet is the feeder. You know, potentially that feeder zone could be high grade. So that's something that we're looking at, you know, with or looking for with real intent. The other thing is that we're starting now to find with all of our dump evaluation, we're finding evidence of material that looks remarkably similar to the gold oxide zone that we've got in situ. And we're starting to think potentially that what's happened is that 50 years ago when this was being mined, Birdie, the company that were mining it, were focused solely on the small but very high-grade massive sulfide body that was relatively close to surface. And I'm pretty sure that the plant superintendent was going, I don't want that highly silicious, even if it is gold-rich material, clogging up my plant because, you know, it requires a lot of crushing, it requires a lot of grinding. And the infrastructure they had 50 years ago wasn't the same as the infrastructure that we have now. Plus, of course, in those days, they were getting $30-odd an ounce for the gold. So it really wasn't worth it. So I think we're starting to find that gold now as we dig deeper, literally, into the dumps that we're assessing. You know, we're picking up bits of dump material. We go, hang on, we've seen this before. Over the other side of the hill on the gold zone, we send the material off for assay and it's coming back at 8 grams gold. So that's exciting. We've got more than 20 holes still pending of assay results. You know, on the basis of what we've seen so far, we can't wait to get those results back. And of course, we've got all of our trench and surface material sampling. That remains outstanding as well. We quoted a few PXRF analyses. Obviously, that comes with a health warning because it is PXRF and it's sort of point analyses. But it's a great tool for us because it means we can start excavating a trench. We can get in there. We can start sampling all the different horizons. If we're getting numbers, then we know that we're not wasting our time. We can continue with our trench excavation and then get back in there and start sampling all the horizons individually and some sending that material off for Jubilee for them to do their assessment. But of course, you know, what we do know is that we've got some fantastic numbers in there. You know, 17%+ copper in a horizon makes a huge difference. And you know, my opinion at this stage is, and I think it's hugely relevant to our overall strategy, which, as you know, is the brownfield acquisition strategy, so that we almost always, when we pick up a license that has former mines on it, we get all the dumps and we get all the other surface material and things that goes with a former producing mine. You know, I think we're getting to the point where with Truly at the moment that I think that we'll find that potentially the surface material or the residual metals that we're going to be able to extract from the surface material will almost certainly be enough to cover the cost of capex for that plant. You know, the implication of that, of course, is that all the hard rock revenues, you know, less the mining costs and the plant costs are all going to go straight to the bottom line, which is, you know, significant. And if we can, it also means then that, you know, we can start looking at slightly lower grade bulk tonnage that we might otherwise just dismiss in the hard rock resources, because we're not having to strip to access it. It's there from surface, mineralogy is simple, and we can start to bang all that through a plant that hopefully is already paid for. So that makes a huge difference. We're enjoying working with Bazant. That's a great relationship. It's going very well. We're about to send them their first invoice. So we'll see how they feel about that.
Colin will love that one.
Yeah, absolutely. But what it does mean, of course, is that we're recouping, you know, a significant proportion of the direct costs that we're incurring now. And, you know, from the perspective of the shareholder, it does mean that it's less likely that we're ever going to need additional funding before we get to the point where we've got a processing plant designed and we're ready for the joint venture.
Yeah, I mean, that's excellent. Important. That's really is excellent to hear, obviously.
Then I think the last thing just to mention is we talked about Marla. You know, that's a project that we really don't talk about very much. The focus has been on Truly.
Yes, but what was it that escalated that one to a higher priority then that you liked?
We eventually got round to doing trench sampling and dump sampling and residual materials and things at Marler, and we expected to get gold numbers, but we didn't expect to get the sort of copper numbers that we were getting, and they compare very favourably with the numbers that we're getting at Calabasas, for example, which is important. You know, Calabasas, we're looking at $80 a ton sitting on surface. It's already been moved to one location. It's been crushed. A lot of it's been ground already. We've just got to pick it up and take it off to process it. Hopefully, we have something similar at Marler. And you know, as I mentioned just now, the dump material and the low grade material that attracts a low cost, but is, you know, relatively easy to process. That's the catalyst for a lot of the other things that we look at. So at Marler, if we've got a decent tonnage of copper gold tails there and dump material that we can process, then it makes sense for us to then go and have a look at the 500,000 ton, 1% copper, 1 gram per ton sulfide body that's sitting 10, 15 meters below surface. And if we stick a few more holes into that, and then we can see that that will give us a, you know, 90-odd% recovery and things, then what we do is we go and have a look at all of the other anomalies and targets that we've identified on that license. It's hugely positive. I mean, we're very excited. We're really happy with the results. You know, we're extremely confident about the prospects for Truly going forward. We're looking forward to getting back the balance of all the assay data. You know, our external consultants are primed and ready to process all the data as we provide it to them, you know, which will then lead to the generation of the JORC resources and things, which in turn then triggers, you know, the Jubilee JV. And in the meantime, you know, Jubilee is now more or less completed all the basic test work that it needed to do. And now it's moving on to metals recovery test work, which, you know, the next phase after that is plant design. So, you know, meanwhile, we're continuing to get all these decent results from our other assets and things that really have received very little attention from us or from the market, and which, as far as the market is concerned, they attract zero value. So, there's a lot in the background, and it's we're very conscious of wanting to be in a position where, as quickly as possible, we get Truly to a point where we sign the joint venture, we get cracking with that, we put one team onto that, and in the meantime, we're starting to get Calabasas and other projects so that they're the next cab off the rank, yes. So that we've done all the preliminary work, we can present Jubilee with all of the information and the samples they need for them to do their assessment, and hopefully each assessment becomes a quicker, simpler process.
Yeah, and you want to start to build up, as you say, a JORC report into maybe Q1 or Q2 of next year, so that you start to actually move from, you know, estimated to inferred or indicated, and actually start to apply a value to each one of these projects, really.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean it will start to, apart from adding value, you know, for shareholders, it's also going to make it a lot easier for investors to actually assign a value to the company as well, which is obviously important. Yeah. You know, it's that transition from an explorer stroke resource developer to getting to the point where you're approaching becoming a small miner.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you got any of these assays coming back to go to the target 1.5 kilometers from Truly?
We've stuck a hole into Coquina Petra. We don't have the results back yet, but you know we're now getting to that point where we can look at the rocks and we're starting to see similarities between different places, and I think that what we're seeing at Coquina Petra at the top is the very, very top of a VMS system, right at the very top. So, you know, it's bleached. It's absolutely it's tired old rock, and it's going to carry a little bit of gold and things. But I think it's way up the top. I think it's probably slightly higher up in the sequence than we are at on the gold zone. So it's slightly above that, or it's on the fringes of our current gold zone at Truly. So, you know, I think one of the things we'll be doing in the new year, for example, at Coquina Petra is we'll be doing geophysics, because what we're going to be chasing after is slightly deeper than we are now. But we will be looking for another Truly at depth beneath the outcrop of Coquina Petra. So the diagnostics are very positive.
So do you think it's effectively one fault, but it's actually on a decline from Truly? No, as in underground?
No, what you've got is you've got two faults that are binding or bounding Truly. Yeah, the whole lot on either side of Truly, and they extend pretty much all the way across to Coquina Petra. But in between that, you've got this ladder effect, where you've got blocks of ground that have been moved up, and then you move over to the next block and that's gone down, and you go over to the next block and that might have gone down a bit further, next one's gone up. So it's a bit of a up and down. So you know, it requires some proper geology to work out what's going on. But we definitely think that on the far end, where you've got Coquina Petra, that you're right at the top. You're right up there, you know, at the top of the vent. And as a consequence, we think that we will find something at Coquina Petra. We've just got to, you know, do the groundwork and do the geophysics and things to do that. You know, the good thing is Coquina Petra doesn't need to be proven up tomorrow. We've got enough to keep a plant busy at Truly for, you know, plenty of time. Yeah.
Right? So you mentioned in the RNS that you've got your Truly, you've got Coquina Petra and Englis City's axis, and then you've got potentially using Truly as a processing hub. What would you do for the other ASL projects like Calabasos and say Marla? Would you bring that into that hub, or would you then think about maybe processing it somewhere else?
Calabasos is the that, believe it or not, is actually the real, potentially the jewel in the crown. Now, put this into context. At Truly, you've got one small mine that closed prematurely. And hopefully we've got at the moment, without any extensions and things, 8-year life of mine, let's say, at a sort of a decent tonnage throughput. But that's one small mine. If you go to Calabasos, you've got 14 former producing mines, you know, at least half of which closed prematurely. We now know that we've got the catalyst, we've got the dumps with mineralization in them that we can then use to sort of underpin the initial couple of years of processing. And now it's up to us to one, just prove up the volumes and get a better handle on the grade of those dumps, and then start looking for the hard rock resources there. So potentially, if we find stuff at Calabasos will be completely standalone.
Yeah, I remember looking down over onto the reservoir and seeing the vast scale of Calabasos. It was massive.
It's huge. It is huge. And that will almost certainly be standalone, and that will probably be a central plant somewhere. You know, Calabasos, when it was mined originally, all of those 14 mines, they had a central plant.
Yeah.
Now, the central plant was actually on the coast. It was a long way away. But, of course, they were picking the eyes out, mining the real high-grade stuff. They can afford to send it down there. So Calabasos, standalone. Let's see what happens at Marla. You know, we're also looking at sort of pre-concentration. So if we do pre-concentration, then there's no reason why you can't take material and move it to another location where you've got a plant.
Obviously enthusiastic before, but from what you've seen of these results, you're more enthused now at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to physically drag the geologists off site to go home for Christmas. Yeah, I mean, they just want to keep drilling and trenching because it's all starting to come together now.
Exactly. Yeah. And as you said, Jubilee are also enthused by the assays they've seen so far, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. I mean, in Calabasas, you've also got that open pit that you showed us next to the army base there as well.
Yeah.
So that hasn't been touched yet, I take it.
No, we need to get in there. We did try to take a small rig in there, but the road had sort of washed out a few years ago, and we just didn't have the time to fix it up. But that's on the agenda for 2002. Yeah, we've already signed up the percussion rig to get it over there to start doing a whole load of work for us on dumps and some of the hard rock targets. So yeah, all part of the plan.
Yeah, because that potentially has very high copper grades, if I remember rightly, and also it will go underneath the army base, which obviously would be something that has to be dealt with.
Yeah, no, we have having a dialogue with them there. It's just a training camp that it's close to. We've also identified a substantial sort of oxide. Area of oxide mineralization that we need to get in and sample. You know, our country manager's been talking to the local mayors and things. In fact, I've spoken to him early today, received a very good reception, all very positive. So yeah, it's all moving in the right direction.
How do you feel then that the from the raise and obviously the potential amount of money you have, probably a couple of million pounds in the bank, and the current market cap is 7.7 million, I think it is. So currently the value of your assets are 5.7 million pounds. How do you feel about that? Are you joyous?
No, I wouldn't say I'm joyous. We are seriously undervalued. I think that's pretty obvious. And everybody that I speak to who phones me up and wants to talk about the company and the project, they say, I don't understand it. I don't understand why you're undervalued. And yeah, we are undervalued. Now, it's an interesting one because, you know, we're focusing on Truly at the moment, and there's no doubt that we were impacted by, you know, a company that was actually, you know, complimented on a regular basis by people for actually being quite open and frank when it came to our communication with shareholders and the regularity with which we were talking to people, to suddenly have nothing to say for 6-8 weeks, principally because you're drilling and there isn't anything else to say. You're just waiting for results. So that's not helped. I'm certain of that. So hopefully we're going to get further, yeah, more results coming out, which means a lot more visibility, a lot more news flow. But you know, we're focusing on Truly. So as soon as we start talking to people about you know, JORC compliant resources and things, then I think we tick that box. As soon as we start talking to people about progressing the joint ventures and signing them off, we tick that box. It's a difficult one to try and then start talking to people about all the other projects that we've got, because, you know, then you end up with a lot of noise and not a huge amount of focus as far as the shareholders are concerned. I think we will probably try in the new year to start, you know, talking about Calabasas as a separate project. And we maybe will start talking about some of the other things as separate projects. Excuse me. So we would get to a point where we put out a press release on Truly. We'll put out a press release on Calabasas. We'll put out a press release on Marla. I think they've now rapidly getting to the point where they warrant their own, that they need to be put out as individual announcements, and so that people can focus on those, not as a you know, big lengthy update, for example. And I think that may have an impact as well. But yeah, we are seriously undervalued, no question about that.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of Truly, if we just look, because really that's all we can examine right now, because everything else is going to happen in the future, if you like. But in terms of Truly, what sort of amount of tonnage do you think, in terms of millions of tons, are available in all resource types at Truly? Forget about even going to the extension that we talked about, 1.5 kilometers away. Just what is available at Truly, so people can get an understanding of its magnitude.
Truly's not a very big area, but you know, we're finding mineralization now to a quite a considerable depth. And initially we were a little concerned about that because we thought, okay, you've got mineralization to a decent depth, that is going to require you, for example, in the old open pit, to do a lot of pushback in order to be able to safely access that mineralization. However, of course, now that we've done the drilling or doing the drilling into the gold zone and we're finding 40, 60 plus meters of combined gold oxide and sulfide on the other side of the fault, what it's proving to us is that when we start to push back, because we'll only need to push back on one side, when you start to push back on that one side, you are very rapidly going to get through the waste material over sort of 10, 15 meters, 20 meters maybe, and you're straight into gold oxide and sulfide. So that is not a constraint as far as we can see. We've got areas to the north and to the southwest that have never been drilled, and we see no reason at all why there shouldn't be mineralization in those zones. So they're first drill holes that will be put in the new year when we get back to drilling. So I right now, I think we're confident that we'll have an 8-year life of mine right now with what we have, 500,000 ton a year, and we'll go north of that. I'm sure we'll find more.
We're talking 4 million tons plus of things, whether it be
dumps
from the dumps, the rocks, the gold sulfide, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
And all have various different values, obviously. And from what you're saying, that could be significantly higher than that. It could be a factor of that, I presume, as well, especially if the extension continues. So that would be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you think that, as I said previously, that we think we may well find the gold cap on the other side where the old pit is now sitting in those dumps, you know, that is adding potentially considerable value. To date, we've not excavated and sampled the dump that doesn't have grade. You know, we keep thinking this one's not going to have anything in it, and it surprises us every time. You know, the tailings, we looked at the tailings initially and thought there's not going to be much in the tailings. We're finding, you know, high grade copper remobilized mineralization at various depths in the tails. All these things add up.
Well, how much more drilling or let's say testing do you think is required for Jubilee if they obviously decide to go with that? So it's an if rather than a when, to then design their plant or their processing facilities around that information.
I think we now have sufficient, and I think we've given them enough variety of mineralization for them to be able to design a plant.
Okay.
It then requires us, in consultation with our external consultant, for him to say to us, okay, you need to put holes here, 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 and here. One, because we think there might be more mineralization, and two, so that you can actually close off the resource, and then we can give you a better tonnage. And of course, you know, by doing the metallurgical test work with Jubilee, we're actually ticking one of the boxes in terms of being able to upgrade that resource, because that's something you need to do, you know, if you want to head towards a measured resource.
Yeah. So in 1 year's time from now, we'll be in a much better position to understand more about the plan, more about that, hopefully an uplift in an actual JORC report of some description, and actually maybe at a point where starting to process things are going through.
I would hope so. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're not far away from actually having the model put together. We just need some more assay data. Yeah. You know, we're obviously going to need to do more drilling, but that's fine. Drilling's not, that's no big challenge. Yeah. And Jubilee have got all the samples they need. They're now moving on to the metals recovery part of the test work. Once they satisfy themselves that they can recover the copper and the gold, then they can start to design a plant. Then the only constraint then is for us as a collective to decide how big that plant's going to be.
And I guess
what are we going to process first?
And the more you're proving up and seeing those, you know, these good grades, I guess it gets to the point where you're thinking maybe that plant's getting bigger and bigger by the month.
Possibly, but I think we're very keen again collectively to get something, get into production.
Yeah.
And the beauty with most of these plants, because it's simple technology and it's largely modular and things, there's no reason why, if we wanted to, if we hit something spectacular, There's no reason why we can't add another module to the plant. So we're more inclined, we're not going to wait until however long to say, okay, now we've squeezed the very last ton out of this. No, if we can get 500,000 tons a year for 8 years, right, let's crack on. And
do you think that'll be a combination of flotation and sulfide? How will that, do you think, I mean, obviously it's early days to say how that will be designed, but do you think the common method will be something like flotation?
Yeah, there'll be, you'll recall that we recover quite a lot of gold when we do panning of the percussion samples. So there is a coarse gold component there. So there will be some gravity recovery up front, but principally it'll be, flotation.
Well, looks very prospective for 2022. And all we need now is for the market to realize that you're worth a bit more than you are.
Martin Churchhouse, CEO of Carus Mineral Resources. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.